friends, it's James Deansma, and this is the 10th episode of The Art of Letting Go. Today's episode really has a lot to do with letting go, because it's called control. And what is it about needing to be in control that keeps me from the freedom that comes with letting go? Let's break it down coming up on The Art of Letting Go. So I wanted to go back for just a very brief moment to tag up with the previous episode on gravity, or the lack thereof, my anxiety. And I say that in listening back, I actually triggered myself and had a day or two after the recording session where things were very, very sensitive to me. So as we move into today's episode, which is, I hope, a more positive approach to what anxiety can do or how it gets triggered, I do want to at least put out there for my friends that suffer with anxiety disorders that you are not alone if you also felt a little bit triggered. But today's episode, I want to look at what it is about the need for control. And knowing, as my counselor has said, that it's that idea of control, of being out of it, actually, this being out of control that leads me to get anxious. So I truly believe that there are two different issues here at play, one being the anxiety disorder. So we'll set that aside. But the other is this idea that I must always be in control. And what would happen if, God forbid, I actually wasn't? Well, let's talk about it. Let's see if maybe you and I together can come up with some ideas on how to let go of being in control. Boy, I gotta tell you, this idea about control, about giving up control, it has me a little unnerved, because I'm not necessarily a control freak, although just sitting here and talking about not wanting to give up control, I suppose, makes me sort of freakish. But I've never considered myself to be absolutely, positively, the only one who can figure out how to do something, thus I must be in control. I truly believe that I much prefer a team approach to things. Except for, I can think of situations in my life where I absolutely, positively must be in control. Here's an example. If given the choice between either me driving or allowing somebody else to drive, I will always choose me. And I'll tell you, my wife can tell you this. My friends will tell you this. Probably my coworkers would tell you this if they've ever driven with me. I can become angry as I drive, but it's situational. All right, I'll tell you my situation, and I'm sure there'll be some of you out there who will, you know, want to raise my name in effigy and you know, put me on the ballot for president or something, because it only happens when I'm in the left lane and somebody is in my way, that they use the left lane to cruise in as opposed to pass in. Now, I've taken what my father taught me, who also despises left laners, as do my brothers and my sisters. Well, I might be speaking on their behalf, but I'm going to presume that to be true, because it was always taught to us to get your action done in the left lane and move over. So why is it, though, that I know ultimately I'm not going to be the one to change somebody's behavior while driving? They will do what they want to do. And what I find is in a situation where I have to ultimately be in control like that, it usually doesn't work out well for me because I'm the guy usually flashing the lights to come on, let's hurry along. Or if it's slow enough and it's nice enough, I'll blast my horn at them. This is a whole different side of me you didn't know existed. But just don't get in front of me in the left lane and we're good. But that's a control thing. And it's probably this small microcosm of other issues in my life that I have to control. Though it'd be hard for me to put a finger on those situations without giving it a great deal of thought. And again, when it comes to the driving, it really has nothing to do with the other person. Most of the time, it's my wife, and she will tell you now she would prefer not to drive with me. This is a true story. We actually taught at the same school 25 miles away from our house for a couple of school years. We did not drive together in the mornings, even though when we got to school, our desks were 12 feet away from each other and our day started at exactly the same time. And the reason was, I will admit, I don't like driving at that hour in the morning when I know there's going to be people in the left lane blocking me from point A to point B. And I've got a couple of old high school compadres who will agree with me on that because they used to drive the exact same route. But when I look at control, and if I want to dip back for a second to the previous episode where we talked about anxiety, and my counselor really put his finger on that my anxiety is usually triggered by this idea that I don't know what's coming next. And that's the great human condition, isn't it? That we have to live our lives in such a manner that whatever comes next comes. And the beauty of it is, if that's our last moment, we have lived like we're dying. We have lived to where there is nothing else that we need to say or do because we left it all out there. And for me, that's what I'm not ready for. Clearly, there's moments in my life that I can look back on where I had to make decisions between letting go and letting God, or hold on to whatever bit of control I had over a situation and then milk that puppy for everything it was worth. And I've done both. There are situations that each of us face in our lives where we have held on to that control, but it didn't get us any further than if we had just let go, right? That's complicated for control freaks, if you will, like me. But this idea that the anxiety that I might suffer from and the control that I somehow need to have are always interconnected just doesn't sit with me. Because there are times when I have no need to have control. There are times in my life where I much prefer, instead of, you know, literally handing the keys over, maybe we'll say proverbially handing the keys over, I would like to say that I am a great team member. I often talk about, with not only my students, but just in general conversation, I'll often talk about the differences between teams and groups. I'll often talk about the psychology behind groupthink and how dangerous it can be, literally dangerous. I'd encourage you to spend some time looking at the mistakes we've made in the last 60 years because of the psychology of groupthink. Some of them have cost us billions and billions of dollars. But let's make that smaller. Because I'm not going to be a billionaire. So let's bring it back down to something palpable and easier for me to appreciate. When I fall into this pattern of groupthink, where I might engage other individuals who don't have a plan, I can very easily fall right into that as well. And it'll mask itself as me being a team member, that we have identified a role for every single person that is there, and everybody plays out that role perfectly. We've got a goal ahead of us. We've met the goal. Ta-da! We did it. But in a group, we never quite get to that goal, or we're a little bit like a dog, squirrel, and we're off. And we don't ever quite accomplish the mission. When I look at control through that lens, boy, oh boy, there are many times in my life, both professionally and personally, where I can see that lack of control has very much hurt me. That lack of control, I can say with earnest, led to some very, very, very dark places. And maybe that control was just simply not being regulated. You could say medicated, however you want to apply that word, so that it has meaning and validity. It's fine by me. You know your truth. But for me, when I'm not well regulated, I have a tendency to lose control. I just turn over that control to somebody else. But I do it in a very haphazard way. There's no pattern or reasoning to me not caring about having control of a work situation, of a personal situation, of a relationship situation, of a familial situation. I just throw my hands up and I say, well, I have no control over it, so I'm just going to go with it. You know, my brothers-in-law, and sometimes my brothers, will just jokingly talk about our wives and we'll say, we don't know what's coming up on the calendar. We just show up. Har, har, har. Classic joke. But, you know, to a certain degree, we do. That's not that bad letting go that I'm talking about. That's not that, whatever, I'm not going to have control anyway, so I'll just give it up kind of control. That's a, you know what, I've already understood I'm going to have to compromise, and this is not my battle. Let me tell you what happens when it is. Because last year, the end of 2019, bad year, right? And that happens in people's lives. We can tag a year. I would guess that many people would put 2020 as a real bad year. Quite honestly, if I were to reflect properly on 2020, I would say that there have been just small incidences in my own personal life, in my professional life, I would say even less so, that I would call bad. It's not been a terrible year. I think what's happened nationally and around the world really can affect us if we let it. And we should, to a certain degree. But we have to remember that ultimately, it's the control we have over our own home that matters most. And it's been a good year when it comes to that. Amen. 2019, though, that wasn't an amen. And the year just kind of steamrolled into the holiday season. And I remember distinctly, I'm not necessarily going to call out any names or anything, but situations where, you know, the holidays come and all you want to do really is spend time with family. Well, for whatever reason, I did not want to do that. That was the furthest thing from what I wanted to do. Me, me, me. Right? I didn't want to give up control of that time period where over a four-week period, we had six or seven gatherings of primarily the same people coming and going. And so a little bit like an insolent child, I stomped my foot and I said, no, 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 as I crossed my arms and puffed my lips. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I needed to protect myself away from not the individuals involved, but from the potential monotony that might come with it, where we might end up sitting around together and just sort of staring at each other because we've already run out of things to talk about. Have you ever felt that way? That there's this awkward silence, even in family, where there's nothing you can say that hasn't already been said. And so you just sort of stare at each other mindlessly. I'm not sure I can think of anything else in the world that I would rather not do. Let's get up and go. Let's go do something. But sitting around having no real conversation seemed like, boy, oh boy, like I wasn't going to be in control of that situation. And this was not a situation where as a husband or as a brother-in-law or a brother or whatever the case might be, where I said, oh, well, we'll just show up. I needed some schedule. And I got to tell you, friends, that is so unlike me. I very much enjoy the process of just picking up and going and seeing what happens next. Again, is that not the idea of our humanness? Is to see what happens next. For me, usually that does allow that I'm probably going to bite my nails. Not literally to the nubs, but there's this anxiety that comes with it, but more of an anxiousness, not this full-on panic that can come with anxiety, with not being in control, but it's an anxiousness. What might we find when we get there? Sometimes the absolute best events in our lives are the ones that we don't plan. They just happen. But here I was demanding a plan. And when the response back was, well, you know, there's not really a plan. We're going to celebrate this and we'll do that. And, you know, here's another opportunity to all be together. For me, it was overwhelming. And I snapped. I actually yelled at people in my family because I felt attacked. That I needed to keep control of that situation. I felt as though nobody else was truly understanding my perspective. And considering I think that I'm a pretty sensible guy, I really was lost as to why nobody else could see it that way. Well, here's what happened at the end of that holiday season. I was humbled. I was absolutely humbled because in every time that we got together, something new occurred, something different occurred. Guess what? That was that anxiousness that I so enjoy in just about every other facet of my life, where I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. And here I was demanding to know what happens next. But the true joy came by not knowing. Now, tying that back to my anxiety disorders, that all seems initially backward. My anxiety gets spiked when I don't know what's coming next. Yet, here I am telling you that I much prefer not knowing what comes next. And I think there's a reason why there seems to be this dichotomy in thought. And I believe what it is that usually when I want something to occur that I'm not expecting to happen, I want it to be something good, something fun, something outrageous, something crazy good. When my anxiety spikes, it's because something is coming and it's likely not going to be good. Again, thinking of those hills and those curves. When I'm thinking of groups versus teams, when I'm on a good team, you know it. You know it in the pit of your gut that the goals and the objectives of that team, much like the team that I teach with, the objective is direct. How we get to that objective might have to change from time to time. That's that anxiousness and that anxiety, the good kind that I look forward to. Whereas in a group, there really doesn't seem to be much direction. And I've certainly been in jobs where it feels that way, where I don't get feedback from my bosses, where I don't get support from the other employees, so we don't build each other up as a true unit, as a team. And there's something deflating about that. What that causes me to do, and I'm sure it causes you to do too, is to go back and reclaim control over a situation. But this whole concept that my control and my anxiety can be together, but not have one cause an issue with the other, is very exciting to me. And again, as that counselor said, your anxiety is spiked because you have lost control of what comes next. He said, you don't know what's over the next hill. And then he asked that question, remember? He asked that question, has what's been on the other side of the hill ever let you down? No. No, it never really has. I can say that there's a few hills, especially as we get over into southern Ohio, those hills cause a little nausea, but I can deal with nausea as long as I'm not floating away, right? How do I tie that back into my day-to-day, into the relationships that I have? Why do I have to control everything? Do I have to control everything? Is ultimately having control of myself, does that mean I have self-control? Ooh. That's a good question, isn't it? Does having control of every bit of myself actually mean that I have self-control? Or does that mean that I'm allowing a certain amount of, I don't know what we want to call it, anxiousness to exist, disorder to exist, this lack of harmony to exist. But I can still say I'm in control of all of that. It's those unharmonious moments that cause for me the most distress. Because those are the moments that I've lost control. Those aren't moments where I'm in control, but I'm allowing a little bit of disunity to happen. I think there are people who can do these things. They seem to have this different identity based on the situation they're in. I'm sure there's some psychology to that. That's not me. What you get is what you see or hear in this case. Long ago did I shed this idea that I've got to be something for everybody. Yet I still want to be liked by everybody. But I'm never going to give you something that's not truly me. You know, for years, my friends, for years, 25 years plus, I was in sales. Everything from mom and pop to ownership to corporate. I'd seen it all. And really, it was fun. The relationships that you create in a sales environment are unlike any other. The loyalty that comes with it. I still talk with many customers that I had acquired over the last 30 years plus. But it always confused me when the best salespeople I would see, whom we would call sharks, once they left the store, they were completely different. They would cut your knees out on the sales floor. And they were opportunists. They were the Ray Crocs of the small business world, where they see an opportunity and they cut out the originators. They took advantage of somebody else's misfortune, as he did with the McDonald's brothers. And I knew so many salespeople like that. But yet we would leave and they would be the most loving people you could ever wish to be around. And my question always was, why the difference? What level of control did you need to show me there? And I always swore to myself, I didn't want to sell like that. I didn't want to be like that. I wanted genuine interaction. And that what you get is what you see. But everybody has a different way of handling their own control. Everybody has a different way of handling their own garbage, if you will. And this need to have control over it, ultimately, is how we get by. We're going into another holiday season unlike any holiday season that I've ever experienced. And I'm certain it's the same for you. Where, whether by choice or by regulation, we have isolated ourselves away from our families. I find myself, who wears a mask in public, still getting upset when now that same invitation comes and people are not able to get together. Or we isolate ourselves. And I'm not using isolate in a bad way. Please know that. But we've made a decision that our self-care has to be the priority. How can I possibly doubt that? How can I possibly be upset about that? And yet I find myself in my humanness getting upset about that. And all I can do is apologize because I've lost control of that situation, but the person in whom is speaking to me about their own self-care, about their own needs, they are in complete control. And so again, here we are a year ago when I was the one who wanted to be in control of the holidays. Now being the one who says, why are we not able to celebrate the holidays? I suppose that's hypocrisy. I think it's also a level of letting go that I was not able to see even a year ago. And that in this moment in time, letting go might put us at risk. So letting go of control is not necessarily the healthiest decision in this moment. But yet, it's not going to keep me from living. It's not going to keep me from experiencing. It's not going to keep me from loving. And I love hard. What is it that you want from this holiday season, my friends? Whom is it that you want to tell about control, about letting go, about giving yourself away as opposed to holding on? And how does that look in a COVID age? The best we can hope for not only is that we get through this together as a team, but that we all learn the art of letting go of this control we have when it is safe and proper. Happy Thanksgiving, my friends. It is my blessing to you that you be safe and that we can all get together for the next episode of The Art of Letting Go. Until then, I'm James Teensma. Hey friends, it's James, and I just wanted to take a moment and thank you. I wish I could thank every single one of you for taking the opportunity to listen to The Art of Letting Go. As we move into our 10th episode, we're already heard in 8 countries around the world and has been listened to nearly 1,000 times. That's absolutely incredible. And to me, that means that my story is connecting. But more importantly, your story is connecting with me. The messages that you have sent me over the last few weeks are not only encouraging, but it's my hope that I can share those with others as well in the future. In the meantime, we have now received our very first official companion playlist. It's exclusive to Spotify, so please go over there and type in the words The Art of Letting Go Companion Playlist. The Art of Letting Go Companion Playlist. And it's a list of 30 songs that are collected that have either influenced me or were included inside the podcast itself. And it's my hope that they expand the story that I've tried to tell over the last 10 episodes. Friends, we are moving into the holidays fast. And for some of us, it's so scary, especially when, like me, we don't like to give up control. But this year is unlike any year before, and control is something that's going to be very hard for us. So if it's too much to handle, I want you to pick up that phone and type in 741-741 and press send. 741-741 is the crisis text line, and they'll give you some clues on how to manage moving through the holidays with the grace that you deserve. Until next time, my friends, happy Thanksgiving. I'm James Steensma, and this is The Art of Letting Go.